All right. Well, good evening. And sorry for the slightly late start here this evening, but we're going to praise the Lord anyways. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Something Beautiful.
Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. Something beautiful,
Christ who died for me, how He left His home in glory.
praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Brother Ron, for filling in. There's an extra verse on that song I forgot about. It's not in the hymnal, but it's on the audio. Yep. That's all right. Yep. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Amen. Any pick of hymns this evening? We had Trust and Obey. I can do it without a... There won't be any words on the screen or music. But we can do it if you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in the hymn. I think it's 571, but I need to confirm. Hey, it is. I remembered. You there? Everybody there that wants to be? I guess, is that what you say? All right, trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Praise the Lord. Oh, any other ones this evening? Victory in Jesus. All right. I don't know. I'm looking it up. That's one I don't have memorized. Victory in Jesus, 353. I know it when I see it, but I couldn't tell you before I see it.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen.
All right. Well, good evening, everybody. Those of you with us online, good to have you as well. And good news is we can praise the Lord. We got some rain coming. Amen. And just checking on the, I still cannot hardly believe it was 98 degrees in Tomball today. 98. 98.
A little warm today, wasn't it?
September the 24th, 98 degrees. It's hard to wrap your head around. It's this hot in the end of, we're in fall now. First full day of fall, 98 degrees here in southeast Texas. Tomball, Houston, greater area. I think some places they were predicting 99. I haven't seen the news to see if anybody hit 100 today. I'm sure somebody hit 100, which is hard to wrap your head around, but that's just the way it is. But showers of blessing maybe be coming in around midnight tonight. Woo! Oh, I don't care how it comes in. Just come on in.
Man,
come in with a big.
Go home, move that trampoline on the side of the house.
Get you some cinder blocks or something put on that.
That's what I told you. It's still flyaway, right.
Yes,
sir. And cinder blocks won't hold it down.
All right, praises. We got rain coming.
Amen.
Any other praises?
John
safely home.
Traveling. Amen. Traveling mercies.
Amen. All right. Uncle service went well.
And Sharon Heibarger.
What's Sharon praising the Lord for?
Praises that prayers for my children are being answered.
All right. Amen. Prayers for kids answered. All right. Very good indeed. All right, any other praises?
We lift up Alita. She's doing an MRI today, so we pray that went well.
Okay.
Yeah, and her. And Ronnie and his foot, he said he might not make it to January yet, might have to move that up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's bothering him quite a bit. We lift him up. And I do have I was telling you last week, a friend Jeff Justin, they give him about 2 weeks with leukemia. So pray for him and his family. You know, see him that much anymore. He moved on after he got that. You know,
I'm assuming he's on hospice at this point.
Yeah, I don't know, but Brother Lee, but
2 weeks.
He has 2 weeks. A good friend of mine, I asked him about him, and he said he called him up, and he's talking to him. He said he's not good. He got 2 weeks.
Where's he at in the area?
He's over in close to Brenham.
Brenham.
What's the name of that sausage they make out that way? Chapel Hill. Now, he lives in Chapel Hill.
Lives in Chapel Hill?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got a little ranch place out there.
All right.
Got a little, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Jeff Justin, 2 weeks to live. We'll pray for.
Just pray for him. His wife's name, Allison.
His wife's name is Allison?
Yes, just pray for her. And
pray for Allison. Yeah. Okay. And do we know if Jeff is saved?
I talked to him. Remember I told you I talked to him. He just didn't.
He really
want to talk about it.
He wasn't in on that. Yeah.
But I pray that since then that somebody, the Lord has come. Right. You know, I don't know.
Send a witness his way.
Yeah, amen. It could be send one of these last few days, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. You know, hey.
Send a witness His way.
Amen.
Pray for an opportunity for him to get saved. One more opportunity.
Amen.
All right, Jeff, Justin, Alita, Ronnie Holman. All right, pray for Ronnie Holman's cancer fight.
Amen.
What else?
Okay, I have a praise.
Okay.
You know, my daughter Jessica got her autism diagnosis, and
yes.
she seems to be accepting that she's a little bit different than other people, so she can't function in the same way, so she's not as depressed and anxious about it. She's accepting who she is, and she's beginning to brighten up. She started learning to sew, and she's cooking, and she started exercising. She just has a wide range of interests all
Well, good
of
for her.
She seems to be coming alive, so thank you for all your
Amen.
Prayers. And please continue.
All right. Accepting of it. All right. Okay, very good.
Yeah, we praise the Lord for the new members today that joined.
Yeah, new
Amen.
Members,
we
right.
We did want to lift them up. I'm glad to have them aboard with us. And
all the visitors that were
and
here.
And the visitors. We had a few visitors this morning.
Yeah.
So.
Had a good group of visitors.
We just lift up. You usually have that on there, the unspoken.
Yeah, those of you with unspoken requests.
Amen.
All right.
And our shut-ins, Miss Bicky, she made it this morning, but, you know, she don't drive too much at night time. So
right.
She can't make it at night, so we pray for her.
Right. Shut-ins. Miss Bicky.
Miss Sakura. I'll lift you up, Miss Sakura. I ain't forgot you. Amen. Amen.
Sakura. Miss Bicky. What else?
That's it. The Creel family. You already mentioned that. Kelton and
Kelton.
They're having their funeral for their sister tomorrow, Kelton Creel.
What's the sister's name? Brent?
Debbie. Debbie. Tuesday the funeral. I'm sorry. Tomorrow evening is the
visitation.
Yeah.
All right. Debbie's. Debbie Garcia. I think Stephanie has an interview on Wednesday with the same company, the same bank that she's with. This is for a position that would put her downtown Houston, but it's a hybrid position, so she don't have to go down there maybe one day a week.
Oh, yeah. Good.
So pray for that, Stephanie's. Because her job runs out in, I think it's either the end of November or the 1st of November. So we're getting down here to the wire now.
Amen, yeah.
Steph's job interview. But she is interviewing for a position, it's an analyst position. So it's not a managerial position, so it's a little bit less a little bit less pay grade, but get to keep your benefits and all that jazz. But she is actually interviewing for a lady who had early onset dementia. Lady in her 50s. And this lady, the way the story goes, she was at her desk in her manager walked by and says, "Everything okay?" And she said, "I don't know how to do my job. I don't know." And then when she started taking, you know, all her time off and everything, she was having coworkers text her and everything. And the report we got was that she didn't know who any of these people were. And so she's gone downhill quick. Yeah, early onset dementia, it's a real deal. All right, but Stephanie might get to, because this lady has made a vacancy, she's no longer able to work. Stephanie may have an opportunity to take that. There's several of them applying for it, but we'll see how it goes. Amen. Pray for God's will. If that ain't the job, maybe there'll be another one open up. Amen. All right. Any other prayer needs? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the blessings of this day. And Lord, even though it was a hot day and a steamy day, it was a good day to get to be in your house and get to preach, get to be with the people of God. Lord, we praise you for the church. Praise you for this church. Lord, we thank you for our salvation. We praise you for that love and that grace and that mercy. Lord, we're so thankful that we got to participate in the observance of the Lord's Supper. As you tell us, as often as we do, remember you. And so, Lord, we remembered you today, and it's always a great honor and a privilege to get to do that. So we thank you for your presence here this morning, Lord. We thank you for your presence here tonight. Lord, we do praise you for all the visitors that are coming today and in the last several weeks, the visitors that are coming to Awana's on Wednesday night. We just give you the praise and the glory for that. Thank you for answering those prayers, the prayers of your faithful people, Lord, to send more people our way. And Lord, we're thankful that some of them stick. We know all of them won't, but Lord, those that do, we pray they get plugged in. And Lord, those that don't, we pray they find the church they need to be in. So Lord, we're just thankful that we can be a part of the process for somebody. Lord, we are thankful for the new members that joined today. I pray, Lord, that they would you'd help them get plugged in. And I think they're pretty plugged in on Wednesday night. And Lord, excited about what's going on with Awana's. And so, Lord, we're thankful for them. We pray that our church would just be good stewards of their gifts and talents that come along with them. And, Lord, we give you the praise and glory for them coming on board with us. We thank you for this rain that's coming. And, Lord, we pray that this prognostication that we're supposed to get rain about midnight this evening, Lord, we pray that holds true. And this old dry, parched earth would get a good inch and a half, maybe 2 inches of rain on it, Lord, just green everything back up and kind of just wet everything back up again. We just ask that that would come through. And, Lord, we just praising you and thanking you in advance. Lord, we're thankful for John and his business travels and making it home safely. We give you praise for that. Lord, we're thankful for Kathy's uncle's service. It went well, so we give you praise for that as well tonight as we think about it. And then, Lord, we lift up Sharon Heiberger's praise that prayers for her children are coming to fruition, and she's seeing some progress there, so we thank you for that and praise you for that. And then, Lord, we lift up Jennifer and John's daughter, Jessica, to you in this autism diagnosis. She's accepting of it, Lord, and seeming to pivot and head in a better direction. So we just give you the praise and the glory for that. We continue to pray for this young lady, Lord. Just help her work through what she's got to work through and get on down the road with what she's got to get on down the road with. We're thankful for the good turn that she's made thus far. And then, Lord, as we think about our prayer requests, we lift up Miss Alita to you, receiving an MRI today on her head, trying to figure out what's going on with this left ear, and just trying to get some better diagnostic tools and maybe strategies together on how best to treat this left ear. So, Lord, we just lifting that situation up to you tonight. And then we're praying for Ronnie Vaculik, her husband, Lord, that you would give him wisdom and discernment, his medical team, his doctors, podiatrists, surgeons, on what they need to do and when they need to do it with that foot, and just the issues that he's having with all the nerve issues in his feet and this upcoming surgery. Looks like he's going to have it sooner than later. So, Lord, we just lift that up to you as well. We lift up Jeff Justin and his wife Allison to you, Lord, as Jeff is struggling with this leukemia. It looks like he just has a few weeks to live. Lord, we pray that you might send many folks by that might sow seeds of the gospel into his heart. We pray, and if he's not saved, he would receive Christ before it is eternally too late. And so, Lord, we just pray in that you keep him healthy enough, keep him alive enough to hear the gospel message one more time. We're praying for one more shot, and we're praying that old Jeff would bend the knee and confess the tongue that Jesus is Lord and Savior of his life. Lord, he would seek forgiveness of his sin, and he would invite Jesus into his heart and into his life to be his Savior and Lord. So we just lifting Jeff Justin up to you and those Christians in the area, friends of his out there, Lord, and pastor friends, and perhaps hospice people and hospice chaplains, Lord, if he's under hospice. We pray in that a conversation about Jesus would come up and the gospel would be shared with him. Lord, we continue to pray for Ronnie Holman, and we're praying for his healing from his cancer. And Lord, we pray for Miss Nancy, and we're praying that you undergird and strengthen them, Lord, and just help them through this difficult time. Those that had unspokens, Lord, this is their opportunity to lift those up to you silently tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for hearing us as we unburden ourselves with these unspoken requests. One more service. We lay them at your feet. We're thankful, Lord, that you hear us. We know that you're for us. And so, Lord, we're entrusting these requests to you. And we know that your ways are not our ways. And so, Lord, we're just resting in that truth. And, Lord, we're praying that you encourage us in our faith to continually lay these unspoken requests down to you and lifting them up to you. So we just pray that tonight. We lift up our shut-ins to you tonight, Lord, and we're praying for them. We're thankful for their contribution and their presence here with us tonight online, some of them. And so, Lord, we just pray that you bless them and touch them in a special way. We lift up Debbie Garcia's service coming on Tuesday, Kelton Creel's sister service. Lord, we pray that there might be words of peace and words of encouragement spoken from the Bible, that you would comfort that family, that you would help them through this most difficult time. And Lord, out of this loss, we pray you might bring about somebody's salvation and seed sown in a special way. And Lord, in death, we pray that there'd be some spiritual life come about from it. And then Lord, as we think about Stephanie getting back out there with the resume and seeking employment as her job is coming to an end, her position, we pray that it be your perfect will for her life, that, Lord, this position with the same bank, that, Lord, she would have an opportunity to interview well, and that, Lord, if that door opens, you would give her the wisdom and discernment to step through it and secure employment and to keep employment at the same Zions Bank where she's at. Lord, if that's not what she needs to do, we pray you'd reveal that to her, point her in a direction, give her a job lead, something, Lord, help her find another position, another bank, or however you would have her work. So, Lord, we're just thankful that you lead, guide, and direct us. We're thankful for your word tonight. And, Lord, we pray you'd open our hearts to receive it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Well, we're going to read tonight. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Leviticus chapter 20. On Wednesday night, we read verses 1 through 10. And we said tonight we would try to read some more of chapter 20 as we work through it. And on Wednesday night we will conclude and read all of this, the remainder of this chapter. So those of you with us online, we're in Leviticus chapter 20. We'll pick it up here in verse 11. All right. And we'll read it on down to about verse 21. All right. Leviticus 20, have you found it? Getting in verse 11. All right, the Word of God reads this. It says, if there is a man who lies with his father's wife, he has uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. Remember, this chapter is about what? Capital punishment, right? We said, if there's a man, or verse 12 says, if there is a man who lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed incest, their blood guiltiness is upon them. Verse 13, if there's a man who lies with a male as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act, they shall surely be put to death, their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there's a man who marries a woman and her mother, it is immorality, both he and they shall be burned with fire, so there will be no immorality in your midst. If there's a man who lies with an animal, he shall surely be put to death, you shall also kill the animal. If there's a woman who approaches any animal to mate with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there's a man who takes his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, so that he sees her nakedness and she sees his nakedness, it is a disgrace, and they shall be cut off in the sight of the sons of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness, and he bears his guilt. Uncovered his sister's nakedness, he bears his guilt. Verse 18, if there is a man who lies with a mistress woman and uncovers her nakedness, he has laid bare to her flow, and she has exposed the flow of her blood, thus both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Verse 19, you shall also not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister or of your father's sister, for such a one has made naked his blood relative, they will bear their guilt. Verse 20, if there is a man who lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness, they will bear their sin, they will die childless. Verse 21, if there is a man who takes his brother's wife, it is abhorrent. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They will be childless. So, capital punishment. We continue on this evening with it. What say you? Anybody got any comments on capital punishment? Anybody got a word about it? Yay, nay? Sure. That's death, yep. Nope, that means you're gone, yeah. Yeah, another way of saying you're going to die. Yeah. Yep, there's debate on how they died when it says cut off from thy people. Huh? No, cut off from their people. They're really going to die. They're not going to be castrated. They're going to die. Yeah, yeah. Any other questions or observations? All right. Well, we ended last time. We were talking about the structure of the chapter, right? We said there were some prohibitions, Molech and mediums. That was verses 1 through 6. Of course, we've read that passage last week because we read verses 1 through 10. Then we talked about exhortation to be holy, verses 7 through 8. Then we come to another section of prohibitions against sin. That's verses 9 through 21. That's kind of where we were ending that verse 9 through 21 section, talking about all those prohibitions against sin within the family. And then when we read on Wednesday evening, we'll hit these exhortation to holiness, keep God's ordinances. And then there'll be prohibition of mediums. Mediums, we'll find in verse 27, must be executed. And then we'll see observations of that ends it, verse 27. And then where we ended on Wednesday night, we were talking about observations of Leviticus chapter 20. And this is what we said, and this is how we ended it. We said the general tone of the chapter, along with some of the tensions, becomes evident in the following observations. And we said we would share those observations on Sunday night. Here we are on Sunday night. So what are the observations? The observations are as follows. Number one, the chapter prescribes capital punishment for some of the sins forbidden in the previous two chapters. Chapters 18, 19, and 20 kind of hang together. All right? It's kind of a contextual block of God's Word. All right? Observation number two. There is a co-participation between God and His people Israel in condemning and executing those who are guilty of these capital crimes. In other words, men must cooperate with God in judging the wicked, or they become what? If you don't, what do you become? Right? Become an accessory to the crime, right? I mean, you're driving the car, somebody gets out of your car, goes in and robs the store, and comes back to your car, and you don't do anything, right? You drive them off, you've just become a what? Accessory to a crime, right? Somebody murders somebody in your presence, and you don't tell anybody about it, even though you felt it was wrong that they murdered somebody. You don't speak up. You don't call the cops. You've become a what? Accessory to the crime. That's exactly what's going on. Men must cooperate with God in judging the wicked, or they become accessories to the crime. We read that, verses 4 and 5, earlier on Wednesday night. Observation number three. Not all capital crimes are listed here, but only selected capital crimes. So this is not an exhaustive list. That's observation number three. In particular, those capital crimes are listed which have been forbidden again in the immediately preceding context of chapters 18 and 19. Make sense? Amen? All right. Observation number four. The capital crimes mentioned here are not those which we would have expected, right? Those which governments generally condemn, such as murder. Most governments condemn murder. You murder somebody, chances are, now there are some states in the union that are kind of a little soft on that, but here in the great state of Texas, you murder somebody, and how you murder them, premeditated, you're going to get the death penalty, all right? Murder, kidnapping, rape, right? Those things, depending on the circumstances, how they were conducted, how far it went, that gets you the death penalty in most countries around the world. Now, The capital crime, observation number five, the capital crimes of this chapter are not those which are universally applicable in the world today, in the church age that we're living in. Thus, these capital crimes are not at all applicable or binding upon the 21st century Christian. Now, observation number six, quite frankly, some of these capital crimes are offenses which we might doubt as worthy of the death penalty. I brought it up Wednesday. I'll bring it up again this evening. For example, one finds it difficult to conceive a man having physical relations with his wife during her monthly time of the month as being a crime on par with murder, adultery, or incest. Capisce? Everybody understand that? That's kind of a stretch, right? So that brings us to what? That brings us to what we're going to call the tensions of the text. The tensions of the text. These general observations, these six general observations, present the thoughtful student. That's us, right? We're thoughtful students. We're here on Sunday night studying the Word of God, right? These general observations present the thoughtful Bible student here at New Hope Baptist with some perplexing questions, which we are going to refer to as the tensions of the text. These are troubling questions which occur as we study this passage and as a result, grasp what is being said in the text. Because the whole point of coming to Bible study, the whole point of getting in the Word of God, what's it saying to me, right? What's it saying to the world? What's God trying to communicate? Amen? So that's what we're going to try to ferret out as we go through this. Now, such tensions are critical to good study. I don't mind finding tension in the Bible. I mean, there's some gray areas that are tenuous, right? Such tensions are critical to good study and interpretation of the Bible. I believe, hopefully you can get your head around it, I believe they are the means of finding the heart of the issue being taught, or what one of my professors used to tell me, Stephen, we're trying to get down deep underneath the Word of God to what the good Lord wants us to know. Right? He was from Georgia, Cali. I mentioned him to you before. Dr. Lawton was his name. He was a missionary over in Italy for longer than I've been living. I think he was a missionary for some 60 years, SBC missionary. He spoke Italian. He spoke German. He spoke French. He spoke English. I mean, you know, he spoke Greek. He spoke Hebrew. He was the most, one of the most intelligent guys I ever met in my life. And very humble, by the way, about it. But anyway, that's what he kind of called it, and that's what's kind of stuck with me. Not original to me, but that's what I picked up in my learning. We're trying to find the underneath or the root of the passage, so to speak. So, let us consider the tension, all right? The tensions which the previously mentioned six observations pose for us in this study. And so let's kind of jump into it for the last few minutes we got here together. Why is it that some seemingly minor offenses are considered capital crimes in Leviticus chapter 20? In other words, why, for example, should one be executed for having physical relations with his wife during her monthly period? Today, this is viewed as simply a matter of personal preference and nothing more. Having sex with another man's wife, we can more readily accept as a capital crime, but having sex with one's own wife at a certain time of the month seems excessively severe. Tension number two, why are the capital crimes listed in Leviticus 20 oddball capital crimes? All this incest stuff, all this stuff going on. The offenses listed here are those which at least to the 21st century Bible student seem offbeat and unusual. I mean, you don't know of anybody that's dating their family member, do you? I mean, it's just kind of offbeat. But I guess back in this culture, back in this time, I mean, God's Word wouldn't address it if it didn't need to be addressed, right? Right. We would have expected this list of capital crimes to be quite different, I think. Murder, kidnapping, and rape are kinds of sins which nearly every government condemns and severely punishes. But the sins listed in chapter 20 are not of this type. The bottom line is this. Why does what God calls worthy of death differ from our expectations of what He should have listed? I'll read that again. The bottom line is this. Why does what God calls worthy of death differ from our expectations of what He should have listed? Make sense? Right? So what's the solution? The solution to our dilemma, to these tensions in our text, is to discern those principles on which these particular capital crimes are selected rather than others. We must, in other words, discern the divine reasoning and rationale behind the crimes which are called capital. And so this is the key to the correct interpretation of our passage and the key to understanding its relevance to us. We kind of have to discern. We're going to have to kind of figure out a little bit. Kind of get our feet in the water of this and kick around and splash around and kind of soak it in. So as we think about this, what's up underneath? As we think about what the big emphasis is of the passage, we got to ponder those things. Now, before attempting to answer the questions raised by our text, we must begin by establishing a fundamental premise. Capital crimes reflect a given system of values. I'll say it again. Capital crimes reflect a given system of values. Acts which are called capital crimes are those which are considered most evil and thus reflect the value system of the one or the ones making the laws. Since capital punishment is the most serious penalty men can execute, those crimes which are capital crimes are those acts which are viewed as the ultimate evil. Now let me try to illustrate that to you. Let me give you a little illustration here. In our own country, it is possible, even likely, that a man might spend more time in prison for stealing than for murder or rape. Do you know that? In the own country we live in. What does this suggest? Well, this suggests that our society has become materialistic. Make sense? Yeah, become materialistic. And that those who take away our goods will be severely punished because we value things so highly. Now, this can be illustrated another way. Think of crimes for which our society is willing to put a person to death. While capital punishment for crimes such as murder and kidnapping is widely opposed by many, we will put the elderly to death for the crime of becoming a burden on us for being a nuisance. It's called neglect. We'll neglect the elderly. We'll let them die. The child, right? The child that is born with a serious defect, Down syndrome. A lot of these Down syndrome babies, they'll have blockages. Blockages in their esophagus. Blockages in their intestines, right? The child that is born with a serious defect may be starved to death or have surgery which is necessary to preserve life withheld so that the parents won't be burdened with an inferior child. Does that make sense to you? That's where we're living. That's where we're living. That's where we live. And to cap it all off, we pronounce an infant in the womb worthy of death. and thus let the abortionists kill it. Now, maybe not in the state of Texas, but have you heard now of what is called tourist abortion? So if you can't get an abortion in your state, you just buy a plane ticket and fly to a state where abortion is legal. And you still get it on, right? Why do we get these? Why do people get abortions? Because that baby interferes with their freedom. Because that baby interferes with their pleasure. The two people that brought that life into being along with God, they don't want that life any longer. And so our society has surely turned God's values upside down. The innocent are put to death because they violate our autonomy, our freedom, our pleasure. Our values become evident by those whom we sentence to death. The only conclusion which we can reach from these illustrations is that our society worships money. Our society and culture worships freedom. Our society and culture worships pleasure. Money, freedom, and pleasure. These are the gods of the 21st century America. Not trying to pile it on, just being what? Trying to be fair and balanced. Doesn't Fox News say that? Balanced. Just trying to be balanced. Amen? Give the truth. Now, so too, the capital crimes of Leviticus chapter 20 reflect whose value system? Well, God's value system. God's system of values. That's what's represented here in Leviticus chapter 20. If it happens that we are troubled by what God has condemned as worthy of death, then we must recognize that our value system must be out of sync with God's. Amen? Must be out of sync with God's. Yeah. So, as we think about the big emphasis of the passage, what then are God's values, which are the basis for His choice of capital crimes? Well, we'll talk about that on Wednesday night. Amen? Yeah, we'll talk about that on Wednesday night. Y'all got any more questions? No? Hey, God's Word speaks. Amen, brother. Very good. Y'all ready to pray it out? Let's pray it out. All right. Dear Jesus, we thank You for tonight. Thank You for these, Lord, that You've assembled here. We pray You give them safety as they go home. We thank You for Your Word, Lord. We've mentioned some difficult things tonight. And, Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would, if there's something crooked or something askew, Your Holy Spirit would straighten it out in our hearts and our minds. As we rest tonight, Lord, our mind would come more in tune with Your direction and Your mind. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word, and thank You for how it speaks. Thank You for the laws that governments have made based on this Word that we have before us. So we praise You and thank You for that. Thank You, Lord, for how You want to make us more into Your image, how You want us to be a witness out there in the world. Thank You, Lord, that we have the opportunity to take Your Word outside these four walls. So, Lord, we praise You and thank You tonight for what You're doing with us, what You're doing with us even in spite of ourselves. We praise You and thank You for that. It's a privilege and an honor to be saved tonight, to be called part of the redeemed, to be heaven-bound. We thank You and praise You, Lord, for the great honor and privilege it is. We pray for our service on Wednesday night as we get back into it. We pray for a hedge of protection around our Awana program this coming Wednesday. And Lord, we just pray that there be a good number of kids, a good number of visitors, and many, many seeds of the gospel would be sown in the hearts and lives of those that come in attendance. Thank You again for all You do for us. Thank You for how You bless us, how You use us. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Very good. All right. Yeah,